Good morning. I'm really happy to be here with friends at Kairos. And you have to kind of excuse me today. I'm not 100% physically, so I just sit down and share the word of God with you. I'm happy to see Kairos and Pastor Peter and Pastor Phil and their ministry. Not only we have known each other a long time, but Kairos has produced so many good interns and leaders over the years. We are very, very indebted in that way. I'm going to talk about faith and journey of a believer. As believers, our walk with God is not monolithic. It has a season, and it has ups and downs. And if we don't understand those different changes, sometimes we miss out what God is doing. If you can, all right, so we have the PowerPoint there. I'm going to read that part, Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4, just two verses here now. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and go from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And then the next verse goes, and I will bless those who bless you, and one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So I want to start with this. Our faith journey begins with leaving. This is a very important concept. We don't, you know, just as you are, is not how we begin our journey. We come just as we are because we couldn't change ourselves. But there is yearning desire. And that's why God accepts us just as we are. But when he accepts us and moves along, first thing we do is to leave what is familiar to us, what is security for us. And it is very important to be able to trust God in a changing world. An untrusting, unchanging God who will change everything along the way, especially us, the sojourners. We expect God to change the surrounding for us, but in reality, God wants to change us into the image of Jesus Christ. And in order for that to happen, we have to leave what is safe, what is, where we find security and sometimes meaning. And God leads us through these changes so that we may become his follower. We cannot walk in the world and go with God. In fact, James put it this way, the friendship with the world is hostility toward God. And so the first part of spiritual journey is leaving what is familiar to us. Of course, at the call of God, not our own, wishful thoughts. And God moves us. And sometimes this move is not, it doesn't make sense financially, relational-wise, and everything else. So this is not only geographical move, but it's basically change of worldviews, value system. Whatever we value the most, and God often says to leave. And this is the first word to Abram before he became Abraham. It says, go forth from your country and from your relatives and your father's house and so forth and so forth. We don't take this seriously, but in the ancient people, they don't travel that much, and the radius of travel is average 200 miles and less. Some, most people, 50 miles. And their country, their friends, their father's house is all they know. And God calling Abraham to leave everything and to follow is not that easy for anyone to follow. So if you know, he was called Ur of Chaldea, which is Babylon, you know, like that's the southern part. And he didn't come directly to the promised land. In fact, with his father, he moved to Haran, which is modern-day Turkey. And he stayed there until his father passed away. Then he made the move to come down. But you would think he has obeyed God, but actually he didn't. And I'm going to talk about that a little later on. You know, I'm going to have to kind of move along a little bit. This is a much longer sermon, so I don't want to overdo it. And the second thing is this. Second thing that happens in a spiritual journey is not only leaving, and you finally, you know, depart from all that you trust and you feel familiar with and you feel secure, and finally make that change in trusting God over against changing world. And finally make that move, and finally you come to Promised Land. Guess what happens in Promised Land? It's not land of flowing milk and honey. The first thing Abraham faced was famine. The famine forced him to go down to Egypt. You know, you thought, finally you made it. You know, I made such a sacrifice to follow him. I left everything. I came. And then first thing is famine. How would you feel? Right? But nevertheless, this is a required course in journey of faith. The famine, the wilderness is a required. And it's an experience to go through disappointment and hurt. How many of you know being hurt by God, being disappointed by God, is a required course in spirituality? A.W. Tozer said this, God cannot use you greatly until he hurts you deeply. And I didn't know what that meant. And it took me a long time to understand. And this is what David said, it was good that I was afflicted, in one of his psalms. And many times, you know, modern-day churches, we talk about success and blessing and good things and all that, and those are all good things. But it has its place. And I think this famine plays integral role in keeping us humble and depending on God and knowing that He is in control. It prevents us from thinking higher than we ought to think about ourselves, which is a blessing, an incredible blessing, in fact. And people do not gain perspective in life unless they go through wilderness. And I can say, the prophets are made in the desert. It's true. You know, when you have the comparative religion, all the places where the jungles, you know, the tropical, the fruits everywhere, and the animal life and all that, they don't have any established religion. They have animism. They are driven by fear and demonic spirit and appeasing this idol and that and that. That's about it. But all the major religions, if you think about it, is from desert, Palestine, and Sinai Peninsula, and even a Muslim, Islam faith is from Saudi. It's all desert. When there is a starvation of sight and sound and whatever stimulates us, that's when we become quiet enough to hear God. and gain the perspective that is required. The English word perceive is a two word together. See through, that's what it means. Perceive, see through. It's not what meets the eye, but what is behind what meets the eye. That is what I want to call prophetic life. When I say prophets, I'm not saying, you know, those who just prophesy. I'm talking about people who are led by God, who understand the voice of God and will of God, and therefore arranging and aligning their lives to that truth and live accordingly. That's a prophetic life. That's for everyone. In fact, you probably heard about the priesthood of all believers, Martin Luther, this Reformation. And at the same time, around that time of Reformation, there are people, group of people called Anabaptists. And they say, you don't go far enough. It's not priesthood of all believers. And that's not good enough. But there has to be prophethood of all believers. Because Bible says to ask for the gift of prophecy, to live according to the voice of God, to follow him, to walk with him. And for that life, for that degree of intimacy with God, wilderness, famine is absolutely necessary process. When everything is taken away, including things that we feel favor of God and blessings of God, provisions of God are taken away, we have to focus on who God is. And we live by the word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then we become true followers of God. Now, and God often gives his most incredible promises in the desert time. Not when everything is fine, when we have a bumper crop and a great harvest and all that. His promises come through. He gives a promise, the hope. You know, the Hebrew word, hope and the rope are same. When he throws hope at you, when he throws rope at you, so that you can hold on to it and be saved. And that hope, and God is the one who provides that through the journey, especially through the famine. Now, as you know, Abraham's journey took 25 years before he received his promise. And this is why. Abraham wished for a son. That's all he cared about. But God was preparing a father of all nations of faith. And two had a different expectation. Abraham just wanted the son to continue his name. That's all he wanted. But what God had in mind was to make him the father of faith. So if you go back to the passage that we read, in fact, I don't know, can you flip it back there? Go all the way to the front, right? Rather than flipping each time. If you go all the way there, if you read that carefully, now the Lord says, go forth your family and all that. And then verse 2, and I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. That's the cause. That's the clause. That's the purpose. Only thing Abraham heard was, I'll make you into a great nation, and your name will be great, and all that. But what God is saying, I do that so that you will be a blessing for other people. If you go to the next page, it says, he repeats that again. He said, I bless and curse those and all that. Verse three. And I bless those who bless you, and one who curses you, I curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That is the goal. But what Abraham heard was God will have a special relationship with him, protect him. Anybody who blesses him, bless him, and curses him, curses, and all that. But the goal was all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, that you will be a blessing. That was a thing. It completely missed. Because why? Because we do this all the time. Because we have needs. We have desire. And we are so fixated on it. We miss out the purpose of the journey. Purpose of the blessing. And that's what God was reminding Abraham here. So I don't know where we are right now in that. And then he comes, Abraham then built an altar wherever he went. He became a worshiper. First, he leaves. He becomes a pioneer or sojourner or pilgrim. And then he becomes, to go through the famine and being prepared as a prophet. And then now he learned how to worship because he looks at everything. He's sought God's favor in every aspect of his life. He invited God to intervene his life in every aspect of it. This is such a wonderful thing. You know, Bob Munger, one of the professors, said, you know, having Jesus in your life is like inviting him to your house. And many of us just open the living room, and Jesus just stays in the living room. And all our closets are locked up, rooms are locked up, bathroom is locked up. He cannot go anywhere, but he has to stay in the living room. That's all he can do. And as we grow, as we mature as believers, we open one door at a time, and that he will have access to every aspect of our lives. And I think that is true. And Abraham understood that. So wherever he went, first thing he sought was God's presence, and he worshiped him. And so much so that his children picked it up. This is a blessing. If your children can pick up your spirituality, that means you're consistent and you're truthful and honest. And that's what he become. So it is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, but I want you to know, Abraham, when you look at his life, it's not all success. In fact, he has so much failures in his life. And we often kind of gloss over. So I'm going to just kind of point it out to you. Number one, when God gave that promise, our making the great nation, he just wanted a son, but it never happened. So first thing he did is like all of us, rationalize or spiritualize God's word. And so he wanted to adopt his old slave servant, Eliezer of Damascus, who had already many sons. So in Abraham's thinking, if I adopt him as my son, and I'm already set with all these grandchildren and their children, so God's promise will be fulfilled, not biologically, but spiritually. The spiritualize or rationalize. And many people who do not receive from the Lord usually falls into this trap. Because they couldn't handle the famine. They were not patient enough to hear the voice of God. They have never developed the perception of an apostle. That's why they go through the circle again and again. Many times in church, we see people go through the circle. Whatever is fed in spirituality, you know, they go through it. And they come back to the same place again. Nothing has changed. And over the years, their hearts become more calloused. And 5, some 7 years later, they're out. We see that in the seminary too. You know, I was talking to our staff about, we have many people who graduate from seminaries and in seminary. So I was telling them, you know, your spiritual life is very important because when I was getting the data, 60%, 3 out of 5 seminary graduates leave the ministry within 5 years. Some, unfortunately, leave faith altogether. And there's one guy who always had to fact-check me. And so while I was talking, he fact-checked, right? And then he turned to me and said, Pastor Keith, you're wrong. Like, really? I thought it was 60%. What is it? And he said, it's 80% now. 4 out of 5. That's scary. This consistency. People do not understand the seasons of life. A journey with the Lord. It takes patience. It takes humility. It takes conviction that there is no life apart from God. That is not that easy. We can say it easily, but truly convinced in our heart, it's not that easy. And the second thing is, when he couldn't adopt Eliezer of Damascus, he, as you know, with Hagar, the Egyptian slave, he produced Ishmael, a fleshly solution. And this is what we do. Sometimes we spiritualize, sometimes we force our way. And after all, God has given me my mind and my physical ability, and it's up to me to do it. Sounds good. Partially true, but actually becomes, I'm the captain of my ship. The lordship of God is challenged. Very dangerous. And after that, and I wanted to point this out before you. You know, God said very clearly, leave your country, you leave your family, leave friends, you leave your father's house. No one comes with you. Guess what Abraham did? Abraham didn't obey that. Abraham brought Lot, his nephew. Why do you think he did that? It's plan B. And so we do this all the time. And Abraham's walk with God was not smooth. It was ups and downs. As you know, Abraham, almost let other people take his wife, hiding their relationship as husband and wife for the fear of his own life. That kind of man he was. He was a very dishonest and coward. And this is a man that God picked, and throughout the journey, he made him what it is. Okay? Now, so faith is not all peaceful, all nice, you know, you always get provided for and all that. Faith is, it takes guts to stay in faith journey. That's why a lot of people leave it in the middle of it. And that's very unfortunate because they don't know what to expect in their walk with God. Now here, God always demands more than you can give at the moment. God always calls you to do something that you cannot do. And Henry Blackaby, by experiencing God, talks about it. And it's so true. I was raised in a very liberal church, and my pastor all the time, God will never ask you to do anything that you cannot do. And sounded so good. But it's a lie. Bible is filled with things that we cannot do, that God demanded. Unless there's faith, unless there is trust of God, nothing could be done. And God demands today as well. Faith's journey. Our faith is like, somebody says it's like a rubber band. Unless it's stretched, it's good for nothing. It cannot hold anything in its own shape. It has to be stretched and stretched and stretched. And that's what God does out of his love. Because God wants us to experience him in a higher level and deeper level. And that's the wonderful thing. God's provision in that way. Let me just go to a last point here. As you know, Abraham, at the last part of his life, when Isaac was about 13 years old, the promised child that he waited for 25 years to receive, when you finally arrived, when you become a young man, you know the story. God demanded that he to be sacrificed in one of the mountains of Moriah. And so it was a three-day journey from where Abraham was, and he goes there, and as you know the story, he's just about to kill him. And the voice from heaven says, no. You know. And then there's a ram that God has provided replaces Isaac. That place, the Mount of Moriah, is later where Solomon's temple is built. And that place, outside of that temple, is where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. It's a very important location in the Bible. That place, and God has brought Abraham, a resourceful man, opportunist, into man of faith. Man of faith has only one option, doesn't have any other option but God. And learning, training ourselves to become that is a challenge. It's not that easy. You cannot just do it cognitive, you know, the whatever you set up in your mind. It doesn't happen like that. It happens through life, walking through life. That's why scripture says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58. Brothers and sisters, faith is not a pill that you can swallow, then it will change. Faith is a seed that grows through the seasons. Faith is a journey, and a journey with our God through the famine, through ups and downs of life. And I pray this Kairos has a lot of young people and a lot of life ahead of them. And I pray they have this wisdom, understanding of faith and journey, faith and journey, that each and every one of us will be so successful when we finally meet the Lord, that we may hear the word, you good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. And that's what we're living for. And I pray all of us do that. And, you know, it's been crazy, 2020, with COVID and all the tensions, social tensions, and the election, and everything. And everybody is frustrated. Everybody feel abandoned, alone. And in this very, very difficult time, that we may look to the Lord, knowing that He's our shepherd, and follow Him with confidence. You know? We pray that 2021 will be a wonderful year. And the Kairos will just blossom in this new year. I'm so happy that you have online service and in-person service. I pray both will grow tremendously. And the many will receive the life-giving gospel and be the followers of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we confess our weaknesses, our shortcomings, just like Abraham. But Father God, through it all, you are faithful. And we pray that we'll honor you all the days of our lives, and we'll be awestruck in your majesty and beauty in our lives, that we may continue to love you and serve you all the days of our lives. May you be glorified in us and through us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.